Hello, this podcast is recorded on Gadigal country and we pay our respects to the First Nations custodians of the land, both here and also wherever you're listening from.
I can tell, like, you've already got a big dumb grin on your face. So what does that mean? It means you're either about to be very rude to me or about to talk at length on the subject of something that I find tedious. Which is it?
Now, you might remember last
It's both.
Podcast when we were being massively pretentious talking about contemporary art, in Hong Kong and so forth.
Well, I've been quite authoritative, I think. I mean,
I said, don't worry, people, I'll be back to regular lowbrow transmission very soon. And so I'm happy to report that in the past week I've watched Deadpool and Deadpool 2 and I absolutely loved them. Have you seen either of them?
So this is interesting because I'm about to just reveal a cultural blind spot. I don't know what those things are. But I really don't.
That's
good. It sounds like a zombie movie to me.
That's
good. Is it a zombie movie?
That's good because I didn't know what they were either until I watched Welcome to Wrexham and I realised I knew who Ryan Reynolds was, but I'd never seen anything with Ryan Reynolds in it.
Oh, God, so this is one of your sports deep dives.
This is one I've gone down the, like, deep, deep rabbit hole. So I've gone, Ryan Reynolds, he seems like a likeable dude. He's quite handsome.
Oh, my God.
He's friends with other people that I like Stanley Tucci and David Beckham and so forth. So I thought, I better get myself across a few Ryan Reynolds films to see what the fuss is all about.
I feel like you have to inform yourself on the general issue of Ryan Reynolds just because you just watched some doco about him buying a totally random Welsh football club. Like, well, I'd better get across
this. Well, it was just that everyone in Wrexham was constantly, because they just call him the Deadpool, and so they were all sort of talking about him all the time and they wear these costumes, which are what I discovered was the Deadpool's outfit. So
hang on, so Deadpool, sorry.
Deadpool's a Marvel comic, I think.
Right,
so
that's why I haven't heard of it.
Exactly. And I'm not across, like, this is a whole world that you can immerse in where they all the different characters have some lines to each other and it's just, I'm never going to do that deep dive, don't worry. Look at your face.
Well,
you're
it
so
wouldn't
scared,
be,
aren't you, that,
like,
I'm going to be like,
you'd asphyxiate because there is no plot in any Marvel film. So, like,
it's, well, apparently if you're into it, there are, like, and
oh,
they
God,
do
am
all
I about
this
to get angry letters.
Foreshadowing and cross-referencing of other films and various things. Anyway, so I
well,
thought
Marvel
to myself,
films I've seen are just sort of pointless piece of something that isn't a plot development, or if it is massively contradictory to something that happened 5 minutes earlier, then a fight scene.
Look, I don't know if I should recommend Deadpool to you or not because I really can't.
Madam,
be certain.
It is a matter of supreme indifference to me whether you recommend it or not.
So, Deadpool, to give you a basic plot outline. Mm-hmm. So, you probably, I'm just going to Google what the costume looks like because surely you've seen the actual Ryan Reynolds in the Deadpool costume.
Surely.
They're actually just filming Deadpool.
How sure are you?
They're just filming Deadpool 3 now.
Is he in that too?
Yes, and Hugh Jackman is in it as well, reprising his Wolverine character. Okay, have you seen that costume?
Well, that's Spider-Man, isn't it? It just looks like Spider-Man.
It does look a bit like Spider-Man, but it's actually Deadpool. Maybe it's actually.
So hang on, the name of the character is Deadpool.
Deadpool, yeah.
And what's Deadpool's special skill?
He can't kill him, basically.
Oh,
yeah, actually, you're quite right. He does look a lot like Spider-Man. I was wondering maybe Spider-Man had a mouth in his costume, but no, he doesn't either. He also, his mouth's covered. But Spider-Man's secret power clearly is that he's half spider, half man. He can spin webs out of his
wow,
palms
you really
his
have
hands.
Done your research, haven't you? But Deadpool is just like, do Deadpool. Whatever. Like,
okay, so Deadpool is this guy.
But is he good at fighting or is he just get killed? Like,
he's good at fighting.
Right, okay.
He used to be handsome like Ryan Reynolds and then he gets cancer. He goes in for this experimental treatment and the experimental treatment's actually being run by this psychopath who kind of tortures him the torture gives him superpowers.
So it's like Jeff Goldblum in The Fly, one of my favourite films.
And his mutant thing is he looks incredibly ugly, so his Ryan Reynolds' good looks get destroyed. And so
what's the point of hiring Ryan Reynolds then? Why not just
just hire an ugly dude?
Is there a lot of acting to be done here?
Do you know what? It's actually
you're about to say.
So, one of the things that's extraordinary is
how do you get anything done? It's just like
I don't know. Ryan Reynolds. So I've watched 2 seasons of Welcome to Wrexham, right? So I've had a good look at Ryan Reynolds without his face covered up. And his acting, given that you cannot see any of his face, firstly, I can kind of tell that it's Ryan Reynolds. I can tell that it's not somebody else in the costume. I can tell it's Ryan Reynolds. And
because he keeps ringing people and saying, you want to chip in on a footy team?
No, it's his head angles and something.
It's his head angles.
I cannot explain it, but I can tell from watching him in Welcome to Wrexham that it is the same dude. And he's able to kind of, given that you can't see his facial expression, he can give you quizzical and cross and all sorts of different things. He's really great. Anyway, I found both of them hilarious.
Siri, show me Deadpool quizzical.
I wrote down a couple
of... Oh, God.
A couple of things because I was laughing. There were bits in these films that I had to pause.
No can do. Yep.
Something else that I loved about this, along with Ryan Reynolds being in it, it's a kind of... It's a sort of humour that, firstly, as you know, I like an action film, so there's that. Look at your facial expression right now is just like, who even are you? I'm the person that's taken you down a lot of crazy rabbit holes. That's who I am.
Were your children on board for this?
I'm a fan of Deadpool. That's who I am. No, they watched a bit of Deadpool 2 with me. I don't really recommend it for children. I think it was a bit loose of me to let them watch it, but they claimed that they'd already seen it. So anyway. Well,
that's what I'd say too if I were your kids.
So it's a kind of comedy humour that I find.
Last Tango in Paris. Oh, yeah, no, we saw that at school. The oldest trick in the book sales. Wow.
So it's a kind of humour. Okay, so firstly, one thing I loved about it, have you watched the show Silicon Valley? It's about a group of guys. Oh, it is so funny.
Oh, okay.
It's about a group of guys doing a startup. One of the main characters in it, I don't know the actor's name, but the character's name's Ehrlich Bachman. He's this big wranger. He is so funny in that, and he is in this.
Is he also in a facial
Deadpool's
covering?
Friend. He runs a bar. He runs the bar that Deadpool drinks in. He is absolutely hilarious. And as soon as I saw him, I was like, oh, mint. I love this guy. Anyway, so I started laughing from the opening titles. It's a kind of humor that I just call just silly. It's just silly.
So it's a comedy or it's an action?
It's a comedy. It's comedy and action. It's just silliness from start to finish. So the opening titles roll, and instead of people's names, they've got things like, you know, Deadpool starring America's Perfect Idiot that's got a shot of Ryan Reynolds, a hot chick, a British villain, a moody teen, a gratuitous cameo, produced by arsehats, written by the real heroes here. It's just that kind of nonsense.
Oh, okay. Well, that sounds quite funny.
To give you an idea of...
I'm like, listen to you. Like,
I really loved it. I loved both of them.
Really? Because you're disguising it quite well.
As evidenced by the fact that I watched Deadpool 2 within 1 week of watching Deadpool 1. So this will give you an idea of the kind of humour.
Deadpool 2 better than Deadpool 1?
I thought they were both excellent. I loved them both. Okay, so this
Deadpool 3 has got to just be an absolute turd, doesn't
oh,
it?
Like, I am dying to see that in the cinema. You can't tell me that's going to be a turd because it's got Ryan Reynolds and Hugh Jackman both in it.
How would you know it's still Ryan Reynolds? Oh, you'd know because of the head angles.
I'd know.
And the quizzical.
And I've spent some time with Hugh as well, so I'd recognise him too. This made me laugh so much that I had to pause because I was laughing so hard. And it is the... I think you're not even going to crack a smile, but it was...
I'm feeling confident that I'm at very low risk of now laughing at whatever it is that's currently making you piss your pants.
So what happens?
They are very nice pants. Don't.
I'll try and not soil them. Mm. So I wrote down what happened in this scene. So I'm just going to read it aloud to you.
Did you take those notes as you were watching it?
I paused.
Did you press? You pressed.
I paused. I had to pause because I was laughing so hard, and I thought I'm going to miss the next thing. And then
I'm going to miss the next thing in this Marvel movie.
And then I thought,
Jesus wept.
And then I thought, I got to write this down before I forget it because then I'll just be on to the next funny thing. So, and I know that, I just know that you're not going to find this funny. And that's making me laugh even harder. I'm laughing harder than, I'm laughing more than this is funny, but you've set me off now.
Mate, I think expectations cannot be further lowered on my end. So don't trouble yourself.
Okay. Here's what I wrote down. I really need my glasses too.
Do you want to borrow mine?
No, it's fine. Okay. Ryan Reynolds springs a surprise on a guy by emerging from his bathroom with a gun. The guy's lippy and Ryan Reynolds says, sit down and shut up or I will shoot your fucking cat.
Well, that sounds hilarious. Yep.
The guy goes, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't have a cat. And Ryan Reynolds goes, well, whose kitty litter did I just shit in?
Whose kitty litter did I just shit in? Okay, that is funny.
So that made me just weep with laughter like I am now. And then in Deadpool 2.
But hang on, presumably, sorry, just on a plot point, you know, I know this is more involved than I was planning on getting, but like, so he's in a sort of zippy sort of bodysuit.
Yeah.
Does it have one of those Canadian fireman bum flaps? I mean, how's he taking a crap in a, I mean,
look,
I hate myself for even.
Look, yeah. It's just, it's also silly. You just have to suspend even thinking about things of that ilk.
Sure, okay.
But then I also wrote down this bit in Deadpool 2 that I found absolutely hilarious as well. So they're on the way to this battle against this guy called Cable. And
as in laying some.
Exactly. And they have had to recruit some extra muscle to help out the Deadpool kind of crew. And so they've brought this guy in who I forget what he's – actually, this guy doesn't have a secret power. He's just like, I saw the job ad and I thought it looked fun. So they're in the back of this van on the way to this fight and it's like
– oh, they're always on the way to a fight.
Exactly. Deadpool and, you know, a couple of other strange mutants. Anyway, the guy who's working with the heroes, they're in the back of the van on the fight on the way to Cable and he's putting on sunscreen and he goes,
oh my, I just
hang on, just give me a moment. Sorry. And he goes, he's putting on sunscreen and he goes, well, I don't know how many people this Cable guy's killed, but I bet it's not as many as melanoma. Anyway. Like I said, it's very silly humour.
To reiterate, you were alone watching this.
No, my children were with me for
that
one.
Oh, for this bit, yeah.
And they were just going, why are you laughing so hard? And I was like, how can you guys not be laughing? This is so funny.
And they were like, how can we be the most grown-up people in this room?
They eventually just filtered off and left me alone. And then I was just watching it and just absolutely crying. Anyway, I'm just absolutely desperate for Deadpool 3 to come out now. It's just
it seems so that way. Funny. I feel like that. How long has this been? Did I lose consciousness for a little bit of this exchange?
I don't know, but I feel like I've been talking about that for about 15 minutes.
Strange, strange lady.
I told you I was going to be shifting the terrain back back down market. But
luckily,
also,
I'm more highbrow. I've read some books.
So, oh, yeah. Books.
I've watched some TV too, which I'll return to. But like, I have a book. I actually need to get something off my chest. And the thing that I need to get off my chest is a shocking error that I made, not the last podcast but the one before, where I got two books completely mixed up.
Oh, God.
And I really must apologise to both authors involved. So I was talking, or thought I was talking, about a book by Madeline Gray called Green Dot. And I enthused at length about this novel. It's not long out. I picked it up and found myself engrossed in it. And sadly, when the time came to talk about it on Chat 10, I confused the plot with that of another book that I recently read, which is as yet unpublished.
Oh.
So here's the thing. And I'll explain to you why I got confused. The title of the novel is Green Dot. In my brain, I think Green Dot, oh, like the dots they put in galleries when works of art have been sold. So I went, gallery. And then I talked about Bree Lee's forthcoming novel,
which is
set in a gallery in New York and is unbelievably good.
And what's it called?
And it's called The Work. And okay, it's not out yet. So I will talk about it again in more detail, correctly identifying it, when it is out.
This makes me scared that next week I'm going to say I need to apologise because I thought I was talking about Deadpool, but it turns out I was watching Batman.
Oh, look, I mean, that is absolutely going to happen.
So what is Green Dot actually about?
I'm just going to tell you when this new book is out because otherwise, I'm just going to get myself into more and more trouble. It is out on the 3rd of April, 2024. So it's not far off. However, let me tell you what Green Dot is actually about, right? So you know how there's this thing at the moment, like sort of largely made up thing about like sad girl fiction. Actually, what it novels with principal characters that are young women who are experiencing mental health issues or like emotional or breakups or whatever. I actually don't think it's really a genus at all, and I was kind of surprised to see it referred to when I read a review of one of these books. I just think that the world is a bit unused to having like novels whose heroines are as flawed as male heroes have sort of been in fiction forever. Anyway, this book is about a young woman she lives with her dad and her dog, and she is kind of incredibly funny and a bit doesn't quite fit in, and she isn't very interested in getting a job, but she thinks, well, I might as well. So she goes and works as a social media moderator for a news organization. And the writing is so funny and clever, and this character is so lovable because she's so kind of gets in trouble and is so funny and smart but also awkward. And then she falls in love with a guy from her work. Now, she has a recent ex-girlfriend in the rearview mirror, so she's kind of like, okay, well, maybe I'll just try having sex with this older guy. And, of course, what happens when you have sex with an older guy from your workplace who sort of doesn't ever stay the night and, you know, yep. So the green dot of the title is nothing to do with art galleries.
it is
to do with the green dot that shows up next to the person you're in love with and trying to keep track of on Instagram when they're online.
Oh,
right. Which I didn't even know that was a thing.
This is because I've been watching too many action films, but I was thinking of like the dot that lands on someone's forehead when you're looking at them through a like sniper
thingy. Look, that's more of a Deadpool thing, I think, if you'll excuse me. Anyway, the book is sort of unputdownable. It is and the central character, her name is Hera, by the way, so she really is, you know, appropriately named, is endearing and observant and completely kooky and makes some terrible decisions. Anyway, I loved this book a lot, and I feel incredibly bad that I misappropriated a completely different plot. So, Madeline, thank you very much for writing this novel. I thoroughly enjoyed it, and I'm sorry that my brain connected a green dot to the wrong
to
the wrong idea. And I will also apologise to Bree. Your book is incredible, and I will talk about it again when people can actually get it. And I'm sorry that I know you're hearing from chatters going like, "What? Hey, what the hey?"
Yeah. Speaking of books we loved, a few years back we both read a book we loved called The Swans of Fifth Avenue by Melanie Benjamin, which is about Truman Capote selling out all of the high society women of 1960s Manhattan. There's a TV show at the moment on Binge called Feud, Capote versus the Swans. It's actually, I thought it was based on the Melanie Benjamin book, but it's not. It's actually based on different source material. It's based on a book called Capote's Women by Lawrence Lerner, but it's effectively the same kind of terrain. Oh, I'm loving it. Sick.
Look, I love the Truman Capote movie from a few years back with Philip Seymour Hoffman in it. And Capote would be a tough character to pull off, and I think Seymour Hoffman did a pretty good job of it. When I heard about this series, because you know, with trembling fingers texted me and said, oh, my God.
Get out of whatever you're doing and get upstairs and just start watching it.
Right, so all of these sort of society ladies led by Babe Paley and we know what the story arc of the relationship of Capote to these women was. He basically befriended them, won their trust, was feted by them and, you know, charmed people at their dinner parties, and all the while was taking notes. He was in a bit of a literary freeze. He was blocked, and he ended up starting a book that was about their lives, basically, and the secrets that he'd learned from them and how they conduct themselves and the interior politics of that very high-end New York world.
Have you read that book, by the way, the Truman Capote book, Answered Prayers?
Yes, I have.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so yeah. Would you recommend it?
Well, it wasn't really finished. I mean, he...
Oh,
And it was a source of great
So he died
conflict.
Before he finished it?
Correct,
oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
Because by that stage he was such a drunk and, it's... And the thing that really got him into trouble with the Swans is that he hadn't published the book. He just published an excerpt of one chapter that was published in Esquire.
Yeah.
And they all read it and they were absolutely destroyed and devastated. And he thought that they would think it was all fun. It was funny. I mean, it was just a really interesting failure of imagination on his part. And he was ruined by the whole experience. He never made it back into their hearts, really. And that's what this sort of series is about. The thing that is incredible about this series, and I'm a couple of episodes into it. I don't know. Did you just watch the whole lot straight away? Or
I had to spread it out over a few days, but I have seen – they're dropping them one per week, so I've seen all the available. There's three.
Right, okay. Is the cast. I mean, the cast is – and it's directed by Gus Van Sant, and – it has this absurd cast, right?
So they're all so good. So Naomi Watts is Babe Paley, and I think she's a fantastic actor, and I think she's perfectly cast. And then the other Swans are Diane Lane and Chloe Savigny are the main two. And then there's kind of a bit of an appearance from...
I love Chloe Savigny so much.
I knew you would love Chloe Savigny.
Wow. I love her in every single thing I've ever seen.
Do you love her? I thought you were going to say you'd love her because of her style, because she's like a style icon.
I love her versatility, and I love the fact that, just her breadth. In this particular role, she is incredibly stylish and perfectly dressed and has this sort of solidity of character and a sort of almost hoarse voice. But I've also seen her in roles where she will play, you know, a totally messed up person, or like she has no preciousness, I think, in having to be beautiful.
Yeah,
And she, I just think she's a really impressive actor.
She was the second wife in that Mormon show with Bill Paxton where he keeps taking the sister wives. I forget what it was called.
Yeah.
It was a few years ago.
Yeah,
and
that's right.
Oh, she was amazing in that. She was really fantastic in that too. But they're all incredible. But the guy who's Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Tom Hollander, yeah.
Oh.
Talking about versatile. He was the bad guy in The White Lotus, wasn't he?
And also the bad guy in The Night Manager. Or he's kind of like Hugh Laurie's offsider in The Night Manager.
I think he's also in the thick of it as well. I mean, he's...
No vanity. Mm. Like, he's just embodies that disgusting Truman kind of...
Late stage Vegas Truman.
Oh, my God. It's really great. And it's actually, I didn't realise, but you pointed it out to me, that it's the second in an ongoing series called Feud. And Feud, I don't know if anyone will remember this because I talked about it a few years ago. The first Feud was, to my knowledge, it was the first Feud. Maybe there's another season.
No, this is...
is the second one?
Yeah.
Okay, the first one was the one that is about Joan Crawford. Excuse me, I'm getting your throat thing.
Sorry.
The first one was the Joan Crawford versus Bette Davis feud that took place on the set of Whatever Happened to Baby Jane. Susan Sarandon's Bette Davis and Jessica Lange's Joan Crawford. It was also absolutely fantastic. So
who pulls together this franchise? I mean, it's not as good as Marvel, obviously, but it's kind of getting there.
It's getting
also,
there.
Jessica Lange turns up in this one as Truman's mother as well, in a sort of Crown-esque sort of ghost scene. But the rest of the cast, like Demi Moore's in it, Molly Ringwald's in it. Mm. Who else? Diane Lane's in it.
Diane Lane's great. Callista Flockhart.
Callista Flockhart's in it.
Yeah.
It's just
ludicrous. Really great. I'm dying for the next episode. I don't know what I'm more eager for, Deadpool 3 or the next season of that.
You are ridiculous.
Quickly, I know you've got to get to a meeting, but something else I recommend.
Am I still going to make that meeting?
A podcast episode of No Filter, which is Mia Friedman's podcast. Yep. She's stepped back from it for a while and it's being hosted by Kate Langbrook. And she interviewed the other day Andy Lee.
Oh, yeah.
And I found it really interesting, and I realised, oh, I know next to nothing about Andy Lee and Hamish's backstory, how they met. Maybe this stuff's all very well known. I hadn't heard it before. It was absolutely fascinating, and I think it's worth the price of admission to hear at the end. They get Kate gets Hamish to send her a text. She says, I just want to know what Andy means to you and Andy's role in your life. And Hamish sends this incredible, wonderful text that's very heartfelt but really interesting about how Andy's kind of said earlier in the pod that they met at university, and Andy was kind of this goofball who was never doing any work. But Hamish was actually a very serious dude who was doing like maths and science or something. He was very smart and was right immersed deep into the weeds of that. And when he met – and Hamish in the text that they read out basically says, I wouldn't have had the courage to be funny, but for you coming along and kind of showing me that I could do that. And
You're welling up again, aren't you?
No, not at all. Right. I'm just sorry. Just clear.
Oh, I just thought it was like maybe it's just leftover tears from how funny Deadpool is.
I think I've all mucused up from all of the cry laughing from Deadpool. Yeah, it was very touching hearing Hamish. So it actually went when she finished reading it out, I thought, oh, Hamish should write a book. He's a good writer. It was very interesting hearing how
I articulate. That guy's bad at anything, is he? So like, you know.
The other thing was Andy made me laugh. So she got about halfway through the message and paused. And then Andy, it was this beautiful heartfelt thing. And Andy goes, that's the most work he's done in years.
That is hilarious. Also, it reminds me, I have listened to a podcast with Andy Lee before.
Oh, okay.
And I think we've talked about it. It was the one that he did with Will Anderson, one of those 2-hour long Anderson kind of full explorations of somebody. And it was one of the most fascinating podcasts between two men that I've ever heard, because it was about the awkwardness between the two of them arising from the fact that when Hamish and Andy first started becoming hugely popular, Will used to like absolutely rip the shit out of them.
You have talked about this before.
It held my attention for however the 2 hours or whatever, because you could tell that it was sort of painful for both of them to remember. Right. You could tell that Will was feeling apprehensive and sort of a bit apologetic about how realizing he'd been unfair and not knowing how this conversation was going to go. And the first sort of 20 minutes of the podcast where they haven't mentioned it yet, you can feel a bit of awkwardness in the air.
Anyway, I remember you mentioning this and telling me to listen to it. It's really interesting, actually, and it probably says something nice about Hamish and Andy that they have in public spaces had a few awkward conversations around men's friendships, because we did a story on Australian Story last year about a podcast called The Imperfects, which is hosted by a guy called Hugh Van Kylenberg.
I've listened to that. It's good.
And this comes up as well in the Kate Langbrook podcast, No Filter, that Ryan Shelton, who's on The Imperfects, was one of Hamish's best friends from school. And so he used to hang out with Hamish, and then Andy came along, and then Hamish and Andy became this big thing. And it was kind of a difficult thing for Ryan to deal with. Well, now it's just Hamish and Andy, front and centre all the time. And they all talked, I thought, incredibly intelligently.
Like Lisa Miller for us,
exactly. They all talked incredibly intelligently, I thought, about all of that and coming to terms with it. The other thing that I learned from this, sorry, it really is from the cry laughing about bloody Ryan Reynolds.
If my voice is in trouble, yours must be too.
The other thing I found really interesting, which I did not know at all that they talk about, which again is probably, you know, slightly awkward terrain, is she asks Andy, do you ever get annoyed that people kind of are a bit derogatory because they talk about, Hamish is the funny one and you're the good looking one. Hamish is the funny one and you're the guy who laughs at the funny one. And they get to talk, and Andy kind of says, well, no, because I'm secure enough in our relationship and I know it's not true. So it's kind of water off a duck's back. But they get on to talking later about...
You've got about 60 minutes of this from Will as well.
So yeah, right. Yeah. They get on to talking about Andy writes children's books, which I didn't know actually.
I knew that.
Those books have sold about 3 million around the world in about 35 different countries. So you can't really say Andy Lee's writing Hamish Blake's coattails. Like nobody in those countries knows who Andy Lee is. Like that's on the merits of his own smarts and his own work. So anyway, I think he's great. I think Hamish is great. I think Kate Langbrook's great. I think Will Anderson's great. I love them all. And I love Ryan Reynolds.
Oh, my Lord, you so do.
He's my new dude.
If you had to have a Marvel costume or persona, what would it be?
Oh, Deadpool would be appealing, except I'd feel like you'd be smothering, like, you know, when you get a pillow in your face and you kind of can't really breathe.
So you don't want anything on your face?
Well, I want something on my face because it'd be nice for people to not see me. It's me.
Maybe if it was just a giant spreadsheet, like you could be
I could be called the spreadsheet. Yeah, that's the spreader. My superpowers are massively organized. I don't need to become a mutant for that. I've got that one ticked.
Yeah, you really have. Well, thanks for, as ever, broadening my creative horizons.
Yeah.
Can I finish with just
can
a little...
Can you come to Deadpool 3
no,
with me?
No. Please. That'll be straight to video, surely. Please. Right. Oh, God.
Straight to video? Are you insane? It'll be the biggest cinema opening of
Will
the
it?
Year.
I've never heard of it. I've just never... How can I... Yeah, wow.
It'll
okay.
be so massive.
So I went to a restaurant... the other night, I was there sort of emceeing a function and it was such incredible food. It was a restaurant I'd not been to before.
Oh.
I thought I had, but I hadn't. And it's called Restaurant Nell. It's in Surrey Hills. It's quite famous.
N-E-L or N-E-L?
N-E-L.
Right.
Yeah. And the chef is a guy called Neil, but known as Nelly
okay.
Robinson.
Right.
O to the M to the G. I just don't go to restaurants all that often, and I was absolutely blown away by the way this menu was designed to evoke the things that were being talked about at the event. Like it was,
wow.
Yeah. And there was a little canapé being handed around at first called a tomato marshmallow. And I'm like, buddy, what is this going to be? Because it looked like a square marshmallow, white marshmallow.
Mm.
And the staff, who were lovely and very knowledgeable, handing around, you could see them walking around and going like, no, give it a try. Anyway, so essentially he's used bush tomatoes. There's a lot of local and indigenous foodstuffs. Bush tomato reduced and somehow extracted so that it tastes like the tomatoiest thing you've ever tasted, but it's not red anymore.
Right.
And made into a marshmallow. Anyway, it had the texture of a marshmallow. It kind of, when you pop it in your mouth, it was like almost Willy Wonka-ish, disappearing into air.
Wow.
Incredibly light and yet so pervasively tomatoey.
So it didn't pop like, it didn't have tomato juice or anything. It remained the consistency of a marshmallow but tasted like pure tomato.
Just.
Wow, that's amazing.
Freakish. And I won't go through the entire, it was just really, really
So is it all that kind
surprising.
Of molecular gastronomy
no,
stuff?
No. I mean, there was a spanner crab risotto that was just off the charts. It was just surprising, delicious food and presented in a really imaginative way and just, a surprise on every plate.
I was reflecting, I've been cooking more out of Bill Granger since we talked about Bill Granger,
okay.
Just because I've, it's put me back into a Bill Granger thing.
Because Ryan Reynolds once, ate, scrambled eggs.
That's all right. So now I'm just making them all the time. No, it made me think about, because I guess the reason we don't go to restaurants a lot is because we've got children. And so I think actually that probably, along with those introduction to those early cookbooks, the other thing that I think's got me to be better at cooking and more interested in it is because I don't go out as much. And so I've ended up becoming people come to my house or friends come around and I'm trying to feed some adults but also feed eight kids or whatever. And so that has also encouraged me to get to be a better cook, which is actually great because then it means like something that you've described, I'll bank that and think, well, that could be quite a nice treat to go to on one of the rare occasions I go out somewhere like that.
Yeah. Well, I guess, I love cooking for people too. So my favourite thing is for people to come over. And I can wander about and be audible and not have to sort of worry about putting shoes on or,
True.
But, it did remind me this place that when you do go somewhere nice, it is
lovely.
It gives you a whole new set of ideas. Stunning new developments, restaurants can be nice. Stay tuned for updates. All right.
See you next time.
All right. Bye-bye. Thank you for enjoying both the oral and the visual experience of me talking to this lady here. Subscribe to our YouTube channel for so much more content. It'll probably quell your enthusiasm, but give us a go or listen on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Did you ever think that we'd be telling people to subscribe to our content?
No, I did not.
We're cool at last.
Don't, you're making me look bad in front of my children again.